Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texan sideline reporter, NFL draft expert, our guy joining us on the Byers Barricades hotline right now, John Harris, joining us on the Triple Threat here on Sports Radio 610. Johnny, great to have you as always. What stood out to you yesterday at the first day of Texans OTAs?
Well, I think one of the things I talked about last night was size. I was just really impressed, and I know it sounds kind of weird, of all the things, like, they're big. Well, yeah, we know NFL players are big, but I think these players are bigger than they've been, especially in the offensive line. And I talked about it last night. I could see a scenario, first of all, where nothing is ever going to be settled on the offensive line until September 9th. That's going to be the opener against New Orleans. I think you are going to see the offensive line, and I know what people are going to say, you need continuity. Well, yeah, you need continuity, but you better be able to figure out what these rookies can do before you start, well, just throw them in a tackle because that's why we draft them. Well, no, you find the right spot for them. But Titus is 322, Sharping's 327, Chantrell is 340, I think. He might even be 340 plus. Julio Davenport is bigger than I've ever seen him. So he told us the other day that he was 320, and that's where he wanted to be. So you're talking about linemen, and Zach Fulton is probably in the 320 range. Other than Nick Martin, you're talking about an offensive line that could consist of 320 pounds plus at nearly every spot. Beyond that, Lonnie Johnson was standing close to us, and Mark Vandermeer said something to me at the rookie minicamp. He's like, why does it look that big? I said, yeah, get a little closer. Well, he was standing right next to Justin Reed and standing next to Tashaun Gibson. And I don't want to say he towered over them, but Lonnie Johnson is a big dude. Well, then Jermaine Kelly walked up, who didn't play last year but was drafted in the seventh round. And he's not quite the size of Lonnie Johnson, but you can see, wow, this guy's got size. These guys are big. This is going to be a much bigger team than it's been in the past. And I don't think that they're going to sacrifice any agility or movement with that size. I think offensive linemen, Chantrell, Titus, Max Sharping, those are all guys that move very well at 325 pounds plus. So it just struck me as, wow, this is a really big team in comparison to what they've had ever since I've been here in 2007. I don't think I've ever seen a team with this kind of size at the key spots in particular of offensive line and the secondary.
John, the stuff you just mentioned kind of goes hand in hand with what I wanted to ask you about, and that's Deshaun Watson. Obviously, he's been fantastic his first 2 years in a Texans uniform. A lot of fun to watch. But there's room for improvement. He's acknowledged that. Bill O'Brien has acknowledged that. And I'm wondering, you know, big picture, whether we're talking about the line, the other skill talent, his individual development as a leader and a quarterback on this team, how do you see his ability to take that next step and his chances of that happening in 2019?
Well, Rich, it's a great question. I think there are a few things that come into play. Let's take a look at just the offense as a whole. I think receivers, Will Fuller being on the field, Kiki QT being out on the field for a significant period of time, they speed everything up. So you're not talking about a game against the Colts in which the receivers on the field are DeAndre Hopkins, Demaryius Thomas, and Joe Webb. You have no twitch out there. And everything's slower to develop. So he's got to hold the ball a little bit longer. Well, with QT and Fuller out there, he didn't have to hold the ball as long. Now, that's not going to be the absolute tonic, but that's a step. The running game, being a little bit better in the running game, having Deontay Foreman back to balance out what you get from Lamar Miller, that's going to help. I think, obviously, better play on the offensive line, just cleaner play, better communication, picking up corner cap blitzes, safety blitzes, the things that they missed, nickel blitzes, things that they missed last year, that a group with more continuity, with more starts under their belt, will be able to pick up a little bit. And then Deshaun himself. I think just the natural progression for him is that the game continues to slow down. And we talked to him, you know, a few weeks back, and we were talking on and off the air, And that was one of the things I asked him was about the game slowing down. Did you feel the game slowing down? He said, yeah, later in the year, it starts to slow down a little bit. So I think that will help. But his decision-making has got to speed up a little bit. But I think with skill players like Kiki and Will being back, with a running game with Deontay Foreman back, with increased size on the offensive line, but just better play overall on the offensive line, I think that's going to help him going forward. But I think also, too, having the voices of Carl Smith and Tim Kelly in his ear consistently, I think that's really going to help him. I think Sean Ryan was a really good quarterback's coach. He just got a different way than Carl Smith will have. And having Tim Kelly as the offensive coordinator, he's going to have the ability to talk to both, and those four eyes are going to be able to help him even more than Sean Ryan's too. So I think there are a lot of things that will play into Deshaun being even better this next year. I think the biggest thing from his standpoint is just, A, know when the journey is over, and B, decision-making, make it happen faster. And I think a lot goes into that pre-snap reads, post-snap reads, getting accustomed to how teams are trying to play him after a full year last year. What are they trying to do? And lock all that away and play the game at a faster rate as the game is slowing down for you. And if you do that, the sacks will go down, the production will go up, and this offense will get, hopefully, where we all want it to go.
John Harris joining us for his weekly visit here on Sports Radio 610. Johnny, I want to stick with Deshaun for a second. The things you're talking about are things between the lines on Sundays he needs to do. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit just because I hope that this is the case, but even just watching him kind of just conduct things out there yesterday and the progression that he's made in his first 2 years, now in his third year, the sense I get is this is – it really feels like Deshaun's team now. Like, he is the face of this team, the organization. You're in the building over there every day. How palpable is that? And how – is that on target right now? Do you get that sense going into the third year, like it's taken another step in terms of this being – Deshaun Watson's team?
Well, absolutely. When the players are stepping up to the podium and they're like, yeah, Deshaun's a mentor to us. It's like, he's 23, bro. It's just interesting to hear the players talk about him in that way. Now, I think the one thing that we all have to be cautious of, and I sort of fell into this trap, and I think a lot of people did, as we got towards the playoff game last year against the Colts, it was that, don't worry about it, Deshaun's got us. And I think Deshaun probably internalized some of that going into the Colts game, the playoff game in particular. But there is a feeling, and I don't think there's any question about it, this is Forrest's team. There's no doubt. He's the guy. And, yes, J.J. Watt's still here, and DeAndre Hopkins is still here, and you got B-Mac and Zach. And there are some very vocal guys on this team, there's no doubt, and some outgoing guys. But they know it revolves around number four. And I thought this was pretty interesting. Mark and I were talking today, and he said, you realize that Deshaun taking first-team OTA reps, it's the first time that the starter from the year before is taking first-team OTA reps since 2013. And I was like, you know, OTAs aren't, you know, thought to be by a lot of people all that important. But I guarantee you, because of the CBA and how little time you have to kind of put things all together during training camp, having some continuity with your quarterback finally, I think, is going to help everybody involved. And it's just amazing to see how different things have been. Obviously, 14 was Fitzy, 15 was Hoyer, 16 was the guy we don't mention, 17 was Savage. And then, you know, last year, Deshaun was not able to do first-team OTAs because he was still coming back from the ACL, and that was Wheaton. So now it's Deshaun, and it's Deshaun with Nick Martin, and it's a center-quarterback combination, the same one that we had last year. And so now, finally, there might be some continuity there, and I think continuity is huge for an offense, and hopefully they'll be able to find that with the offensive line once they fit the people into the right roles. And with Titus Howard, Max Sharping, you don't always know what that role is going to be right now. And you got to figure it out. So that's why OTAs, I think, are big. But the fact that Deshaun has been here, he just has that calm. And everybody can look at a huddle, and he knows where everybody needs to be. So if Holly Warren's in the wrong spot, hey, over here, Warren, get over here. Hey, stand up, do this. I mean, he's got it all under control. And I think that's what we have been waiting to see for a long time. And now we've got it, and we just can't take it for granted because of how special this guy actually is.
John, we were discussing earlier a post on Yahoo Sports from Eric Edholm, whose headline is "Every Current NFL General Manager's Defining Draft Pick." And it's an interesting read, and we know it's a limited body of work from Brian Gain, especially when his first draft was devoid of a first or a second round pick. But Eric Edholm chooses Titus Howard, and I think for good reason, as at least to this point, what could likely be the most defining draft pick of Brian Gain's short career as a GM. But Sean and I were discussing it, and I think we both agreed that Justin Reed has a pretty good chance to, down the road, lay claim possibly to that. Can you speak to the importance of Justin Reed to this football team?
Man, I absolutely love Jay Reed. I heard you guys talking about it. I think it's pretty obvious to say Titus because of the connection to Deshaun. I think that's, you know, obviously Rich Smith was the GM when Deshaun was drafted. So Brian doesn't get credit for that, but Titus can ultimately make Deshaun that much better. So I understand where Eric's coming from on that, but Jay Reed, what he can do, and I thought you guys brought it up in a great way, that is, what if we didn't have him? My gosh, what would we be doing right now? What would we have done? We probably would have overpaid for Tyrann Mathieu to make sure that we kept a safety, or we may have overpaid for Kareem Jackson to have him continue and play safety. But we wouldn't have had a guy that can end up being a game changer in this league. And just watching week after week last year, just down in the field, just the confidence grow. And I guarantee you, he probably didn't even know the defense like he knows it now. And he was making one play after the next. And obviously that play in Washington, the pick six, was just such a big play. But there were so many of them that day that he made. He had a pass breakup across the middle at one point. And you just started seeing him really put his stamp on this team with what he can do at safety. Now, Kevin Johnson had a very similar, like, rookie year, maybe not as impactful, but he had a really good rookie year. We all look forward to, man, he comes back in 2016. Boy, it's going to click. It's going to come together. And it started to, and then the injury hit after the Colts game for Kevin Johnson, and Kevin never got his confidence back. The thing about Justin Reed, you will never, ever see a guy in Justin Reed that loses confidence. That he's confident but not cocky. So he's never going to lose that. Plus, he plays a different position, so he's not out there one-on-one on the island a lot. But that's where Kevin probably was hurt the most, was his confidence. His confidence got shaken, and he never got it back. I think with Justin Reed, even if injuries take place, I think he'll be able to bounce back, but he's got to take that next step in his evolution this year. But I love the combination of Justin Reed and Deshaun Gibson. I think those two safeties and the way that they could interchange, given shifts and motions and, you know, coverage schemes and what they're doing, one guy in the box, one guy deep, they can flip it. And you're going to get equal value from both of them in that way. So I love the combination, but Jay Reed's about to be if he's not already, like I said, there's some vocal dudes in a defense, but he's going to be a leader. He's going to be a leader for sure in the secondary, and he will definitely be a guy that communicates with BMAC on a consistent basis, and those guys are going to turn into being the strength in the middle of the formation. DJ Reader, then RJ McKinney, and Justin Reed. You got to be strong up the middle, and with that threesome, we feel pretty good about that.
How about Deshaun Gibson, Johnny? Just observing yesterday, it looked like he and Justin Reed were sort of attached at the hip, and they play the same position, so it stands to reason. But you could just tell by watching the body language of the two of them conversing that there's a chance that Reed, while he's a guy who, for his age, like you just said, great leadership skills, very mature. But talk about Deshaun Gibson being able to fill that leadership void, that experienced leadership void that was left behind by Kareem and Tyrann Mathieu.
Well, we've all been in, and anybody can think about the job that they're in, and we've all been in jobs. You know, after a year of doing radio, and Sean, I know we did that together. After a year of radio, it wasn't as if I felt like I had the thing licked, but I kind of had an idea of what I was doing. But I always wanted to talk to guys that were in it and kind of get their thoughts on, well, you take calls, you do this, you do that, and talk to the veterans, guys that have done it, to try and be a little bit better at it. And I think that's what Justin's doing. Sean Gibson is he's as good a leader as you're going to find. I mean, I can see that on the field with Jacksonville. He was that kind of guy. He's a veteran. He's been through it. He's a guy that had to battle for everything. You could say he had a battle fight, you know. So, you know, if you're playing a drinking game, you know, drink, because I just said battle fight, and drink again because I said it twice. But I think Gibson is a great influence on Justin, because whatever T-Gip doesn't know in the defense, Justin can help him with that. But playing the game, being a professional, obviously Justin has his brother Eric that he can always turn to.
Yeah.
But now he's got a guy that's kind of been through the ringer and has been through it. It's Deshaun Gibson, and Gibson's a guy that loves football. He loves the team, and of course, as you guys found out, he loves the state of Texas. So I think all of that is going to be really good. I think it's going to be a nice symbiotic relationship for both, that Gibson can impart some of the veteran wisdom still, whereas Jay Reid can look at him and say, hey, this is how we handle this adjustment. This is what we do. And then once they get really on the same page scheme-wise, I think it'll be a really good fit between the two at safety.
Johnny, we appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely, boys. We'll talk to you then. Thank you.
Sounds
good.
Thank
you, John.
John Harris joining us on the show. Good stuff.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.